This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built for Tough studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are in the free Odyssey app. Good Thursday morning. Boomer is out today. He's got his hockey tournament out there in Vegas, so I know he's been fired up about that. Hopefully he comes back injury free. We don't need a hobbling Boomer around here, so excited for him. So good luck to the Wasps out there in Las Vegas. That means Jerry is in for Boomer today. What's up, Jerry?
Well, good morning. Yeah, hopefully he doesn't take a stick to the face and has to have like surgery on his mouth again like he did 15 years ago.
Whew.
Be rough.
Yeah, that would be very rough. And, you know, my wife's been doing a lot of those Pure Bar classes, and she like tore something in her shoulder, and I told her, working out. No. Bad idea.
What is Pure Bar? I don't know what that is.
Pure Bar is a workout class where they use like the ballet bar.
Oh, okay.
And it's like stretching and weights and stuff like that.
She got hurt doing that?
Well, yeah, she went. She I guess is a little bit obsessive like I can be at times.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a March challenge that she wanted to hit. And we were gone in Disney for a full week. So she crammed in like 14 straight of these.
Oh, she overdid
when she
it.
Probably overdid it and then ended up having a tear there. But I said, oh, you know, that's my worst nightmare, what just happened to you.
But that actually will also strengthen you. That's the bad side. The good side is resistance training. That's the new thing now.
Yeah, but
for longevity.
I would rather be built like a bag of milk and not have an injury. You know what I'm saying? Then tighten up and have an injury. Mm. That's one of those things.
Fair enough.
You had this Luka return last night, and you had obviously the surprise firing of Malone in Denver, and then prior to that, the surprise firing of Taylor Jenkins in Memphis. And it just got me thinking, because those are three major things that happened in the NBA this year. Just very odd for the NBA as well. Things that you don't see a coach of a team that's over 500 fired before the playoffs, much less two. And then that Luka trade obviously was the craziest thing we had ever seen. So I'm thinking now with the way that the Knicks are heading into the postseason and how it doesn't appear like they could beat the Boston Celtics in the second round in a 7-game series right now, although I'm still holding out hope and think that they maybe can be just a little bit different, and you never know what could happen in the series. Could you see the Knicks doing something crazy like that if that were to happen? Now, if they get to the second round, maybe lose to the Celtics in 6 or 7, then no, I don't think they're doing anything. But let's just say that this team doesn't get out of the first round or get swept in the second round. I mean, if you could fire Michael Malone, who won a championship right before the playoffs, then Tibbs certainly could be on a hot seat. I don't think that's a crazy thing to think of. And as far as like trading away players, that's going to be a very, very difficult thing. But, you know, I see this conversation about could Tibbs be on the hot seat and people going nuts about that conversation even happening? I mean, I'm sorry, but look around the league. I mean, I don't think this guy should have a permanent job if they either get swept or end up losing in the first round.
No one's got a permanent job. There's no doubt. I mean, the Malone thing to me is bizarre, and I've certainly read and heard a lot of different things as to why that happened and why the GM was let go. It almost seems like those two are killing each other behind closed doors. That's the situation we're not close to, but it is weird. I mean, they just won the championship less than 2 years ago, and now the guy's out. I mean, clearly he can coach the talent he had. There was also the idea that there was a lack of talent given money and finances and success. That's a weird situation. The Grizzlies one, I have not followed enough. All I know is that's a damn good team that's in the playoffs. Strange. The Luka trade, strange. You bring it back to Tibbs. I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is this team has been, aside from an outlying year here or there, and I don't think I'm being extreme by saying this, they've been awful for the better part of 20 years as an organization. And then you bring in Tibbs, he brings in this certain style. To me, I mean, at some point, I know it's easier to fire the coach, I get that, but at some point, when do we blame the players? Well, like, when do we not? How come Mikal Bridges taking his eye off the ball the other day, you know, and having the ball go through off his shoulder and out of bounds, that's Tibbs' fault?
Well, I think I have a good answer for that. Not the specific Mikal Bridges thing. I don't think that's Tibbs' fault. I do think that, you know, some of these out of bounds plays that they have that look like a disaster are Tibbs' fault for sure. But I think the answer of when you blame the coach, so they did blame the players. I mean, they ended up changing this roster significantly. They got rid of the guys that they drafted in R.J. Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley. They got rid of the guy that ended up putting them over the top in the beginning to get back to the playoffs in Julius Randle. I mean, all of those moves that they made, you know, Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns, now you're building around that. And these are your guys, and OG Anunoby as well with his contract. These are your guys. And if it's not working, which it really hasn't to the point that we expected at this point.
But why? See, to me, that's the big question. And to me, the answer is because one of your biggest players doesn't defend. This is not, when you look at this Knicks team, remember when they were putting up, they had that stretch where they were putting up consistently 125 plus points a night. And a lot of us around here were saying, well, it's a different way to play. They're going to outscore teams. They're not the same defensively. Personnel is different. Even though Bridges was brought in to be a defensive player, hasn't been great. You know, it's hard to outscore teams every night. And when it doesn't work, you can make the case they changed the team against the way Tibbs coaches.
They did. No, I mean, that's a fact.
Right. So now I'm going to blame the coach for not coaching the way he coaches well with the new set of players he was given. And, oh, by the way, they still won 50 games. They're still going to be a 3 seed, but they're still not better than the two teams ahead of them.
All right, so I'll ask you this. Could you move on from Tibbs and not necessarily blame him for the issues and say, hey, we built a team that I don't think you can coach?
I think that if you are going to move away from the coach, that's the only way you can do it. Because I don't think you can fire the coach and say it's just not working with them. I almost think you got to fire the coach and put some responsibility, like Leon Rose needs to take responsibility.
Oh, yeah. No, without a doubt. Yeah.
Creating a puzzle that doesn't quite fit because of the coach's style to the players he has since brought in.
Yeah, but I also think that Tibbs is a huge part of that front office and acquisitions at that point, because there's no way that Leon Rose is bringing in Karl-Anthony Towns or making that trade for OG Anunoby without consulting Tom Thibodeau and saying, hey, what can you do with this? How is this going to work? Are we going to take a step back defensively if we make this trade? And he's got to sign off on it. I'd be shocked if he was in the dark about it. But, I mean, Tibbs has done an amazing job. Where they came from to where they are now is spectacular. But you didn't do all of that to be the second or third best team in the conference. You did it because you wanted to get that elusive championship that we haven't seen, or I've never seen even in my lifetime. So if this is the group of players that they either believe in or they can't get away from, and they also need to get deeper, by the way. That's another problem.
Agreed.
They were deeper last year. But if this is the group that you either can't change or you believe can win, then there's only one other thing that you can do.
And you're going to change the coach.
Yeah.
Now, that having been said, take a step back. the season's not over. We haven't even begun the playoffs.
Yeah.
And the idea, and I do feel like I'm almost on an island here when I listen to Knicks fans who don't believe that they can really win anything this year because Boston is Boston and Cleveland has had this amazing run. And even if you get through that, Oklahoma City's been out, been incredible. I actually do believe this team has a chance to compete with Boston in the postseason. Why? I don't know. I know they got swept this year. The other night was the most complete they've been as a roster. They didn't win. Not good enough. No excuses. You got to be better, especially at home. I'd feel better if they lost that game in Boston, you know, in overtime as opposed to at home. That said, things change in the postseason. And what I am looking for is what a lot of people have said is, well, the regular season, not the same. They're going to defend in the postseason. If, in fact, this team can flip a switch and resemble anything defensively like they were last year for much of the year until they got all banged up in the postseason, I give them a hell of a chance to beat anybody standing in their way in the postseason before we write Tibbs' obituary.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to lose in the first round. And I'm with you with the playoff stuff. We had the conversation a couple of weeks ago where I said I'm not ready to say that this team can't beat the Celtics, but the more I think about it,
it's difficult. They're good. Boston is a champion for
just
a reason.
There's just too many things about them that are better than the Knicks, and it would just be a monumental task to beat them in a 7-game series. And then you have this very hard evaluation process where, like, all right, you end up facing the Celtics in the second round because the Cavaliers have the season that they're having.
Yep.
And let's say they do lose that series. You lost now to the defending champs who had a better regular season than you. Like, how horrible of a loss really is that? You know, then you have to think about that.
Right, you're not going to be favored, and probably you'll be underdogs in Boston. You might even be underdogs in New York. I don't know. You're right.
So then you have to figure, okay, you know, how far away are we?
Not far at all.
Well, if you get swept, I think so. So this goes back to, like, I'll make a couple comparisons. Like, this goes back to where Brian Cashman and the Yankee fan base had a totally different take a couple years ago when they got swept by the Astros in the ALCS, where Brian Cashman and the Yankees brass were saying, we made it to the ALCS. You thought that we would have, you know, we finished the season under 500. Okay, but you got to the ALCS, faced your biggest nemesis, and didn't even have a shot.
Weren't close.
Yeah, so that's that. I mean, so the result of the series certainly will be a big conversation. If you get swept or you lose in five or it doesn't even look like you can compete, then you're really, really far away and massive changes would have to happen.
Understood. And I think that's where you have to let the whole thing play itself out, because when you look at the two teams, the three-point shooting is what Boston does well. You know what? I look at the Knicks, too, and as them being whole for the first time, and you hope for good health through the playoffs as opposed to the mess we saw last year, you know, why can't Karl Anthony Towns go toe-to-toe with Kristaps Porzingis from the outside? Why can't Miles McBride light it up from the outside, which we've seen numerous times? Why can't OG Anunoby continue on this offensive trend? Why can't Josh Hart be the complete player he's been? Why can't Jalen Brunson be the player that was putting up 40 a game last year? Like, to me, I just don't think we've seen the Knicks as a complete product through the first 75, 78 games of the season until now. I know they lost the other night. I get it. But Brunson just coming back, I really do believe I will be stunned if they, and I'm assuming they win the first round. I mean, I probably shouldn't assume that, but let's just assume they get through the first round. Boston gets through the first round. All is good. Here we go. New York, Boston. I will be stunned if they are 4 or 5 games and out. I really would be. I'm not saying they're winning the series, but I 100% expect it to be a 6 or 7 game grueling type of series where there is knockout shot after knockout shot, and it is just one of these, that was pretty good last night.
Yeah, I hope so, and that would be amazing. Really, you know, when you say why not, and you talk about these guys being their best, the biggest question is Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, he's just, there's so many guys like him in the NBA that have been in the NBA. I mean, there's just that profile of a player who is so good. And when you see them at their best, you're just completely mesmerized about how talented they are. But then when they run into the better team in the postseason or the better player or the big moment, they just don't have that extra 10% to get over that hump. And it doesn't mean that they're not a great player. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't have made the trade. But there's just something about them that
doesn't get that extra 10% to squeeze out of him to make him a champion. And that's the knock on Karl Anthony Towns. So when you say, you know, why can't he?
Right.
I mean, maybe it's just because he's not built that way.
Maybe. But you know who does give you the extra 10, 15%?
Jalen Brunson. Yeah.
Jalen Brunson last year on basically one leg and battered and bruised was putting up numbers that were ridiculous. You could make the case until they were knocked out of the playoffs. He was the best player in the postseason in the NBA until they were knocked out. That's what they have going for them. He had four or five weeks off, you know, rehabbing the injury, wear and tear off the body. If there is anybody that is going to be 100% or 115% of himself come postseason in a couple of weeks, the Knicks have that guy.
Yeah, I mean,
and I'm not trying to talk you into anything. Trust me, I've heard enough Knicks fans that think the season's over already because they're going to face Boston. I really think they've got a chance.
I'm more with you than the it's not going to happen at all. I really do think that I agree that they have a chance. I think it's a 6 or 7 game series that they're going to lose, and we'll look back and say, man, like, God, they're so close, This damn,
but
team.
Not there.
Yeah,
if in fact that's the case, again, you know, we talk about inbounds plays, and I totally understand your point with, you know, guys. Did you see the inbounds play? Is LeBron James not arguably the greatest player you've ever seen?
Yeah, he's top three.
Okay,
yeah.
So did you see the inbounds play that the Lakers and J.J. Redick drew up 2 weeks ago where LeBron just gave them? Remember they lost that 7-point lead in 15 seconds?
Yep.
That was brutal.
Yeah.
That's LeBron James making a bad pass with a bad play drawn up out of bounds. It happens nightly. I know we see it every day, so it's obviously highlighted and amplified. I get it. But I'm telling you, and it's kind of like we talk about, you know, how can a team this good not be able to score for 15 minutes? We talked about Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle getting outscored in the fourth quarter by 30 points the other night. This stuff happens, and I would not fire the coach because of a couple of bad inbounds plays.
All right, so I'll give you comparisons, this team as opposed to previous Knicks teams, and you tell me how far away this team is as compared to the other one. All right. 90s Knicks going up against Jordan and the Bulls. How much closer are the Knicks this year to the Boston Celtics compared to those Knicks teams and Jordan?
That is a great question, because I really thought those Knicks teams were going to win a championship for sure. They didn't, but it was Jordan. Boy.
Is this team more likely to get past the Celtics than the Knicks were to the Bulls then?
I'm going to say yes. The problem with the answer is I know what happened in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to look at that objectively without the results, and I've got the results of those 90s Knicks.
Yeah.
And they didn't win when Jordan was out. They sure as hell didn't win when Jordan was back. So I have to say the Celtics, and partly because this is the first time I'm seeing it, everybody healthy.
Yeah. Now.
So now.
The next one I'll give you I think will be easier.
Okay.
The Carmelo Stoudemire teams against the LeBron, Dwayne Wade.
Mm-mm. I thought they were good. I did. I thought they were good. I didn't think they had a puncher's chance in hell.
I agree.
I thought you were going to give me the 99 Knicks and Allen Houston and Miami and the runner. And then
No. Because that was different. That was a little bit of an outlier.
That was, what, the 50-game season, right?
Yeah. Right. It was the lockout shortened season. And also, you know, they were coming out of that great era, so they still had some of the DNA of that team. And then they went on that run and Sprewell and everything. So, no. Because that team also, you know, they ended up going to the finals and then losing to the Spurs, who were so good at that point. But, by the way, did you see Tim Duncan, that picture of Tim Duncan going around? He's a Rastafarian.
What does that mean? A Rastafarian?
You don't know what a Rastafarian is?
No.
Like Bob Marley? He's looks like a Jamaican reggae band member.
Good for him.
He's got the dreads. He's got the whole thing.
Good for him.
He looks totally different.
He's totally chill.
Totally different than
he living on an island somewhere? Because I read the girl from American Pie. I forget. Remember the movie American Pie?
Yeah,
the gorgeous brunette? I don't know if you guys saw this.
Yes, yes.
So it turned out she quit acting and she moved to South Africa. Is that her name? Elizabeth? I don't remember her name. I just saw the article, but it said how she quit acting after that movie and she has moved. She lives in South Africa now. And it's like, not the same, but Tim Duncan done with basketball.
Shannon Elizabeth.
Shannon, that's her.
Yeah.
That's her. She's gone.
Gone in South Africa, huh?
And has been. But I could see Tim Duncan. He played. He won. He made a fortune. Now go enjoy your life.
Yeah.
And do what you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay, so you think that this team's got a better shot than both of those examples that I gave you in the past where I felt like they were running into a wall.
I absolutely do.
It's the Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. CeeLo is here. I know he's got some baseball from yesterday. A little bit uneventful. Better news for the Yankees than the Mets, that's for sure. What's up, CeeLo?
Yeah, let's start there. Yankees trying to avoid the sweep yesterday in Detroit. Took a 4-0 lead into the ninth inning, and then Devin Williams happened again as he couldn't close the door, allowed three runs before he was eventually lifted in favor of Mark Leiter Jr. with the game still hanging in the balance.
Next pitch, swung on, blooper. Center field, going back, Jazz, he's got room. Jazz is there, makes a two-hand catch, Yankees win. Victory for the New York Yankees, 4-3, the final. Boy. Got the pulse rate up a little bit in that last few minutes.
Dave Sims, final call here on the Fan.
All right, so I have a question for you. You played baseball. I had an argument with Boomer a couple weeks ago when we were. I don't remember how it came up. Eddie, Al, you guys remember how the whole thing from the World Series came up, and I got into that argument with Boomer about whose fault it was, about Garrett Cole, and I remember an Aaron Judge dropping the pop up. Was it a caller that called in? I don't know how we got on this whole thing about it was Boone's fault. For you guys are
Al looks perplexed.
Okay, I mean, it's fine.
I remember the argument. I don't remember the genesis.
That's fine. Not a big deal. So his point was the way Boone manages and lets people just do whatever is why the ball was dropped and the whole play at first. So here's a question.
I don't agree with that, by the way.
No, I clearly, and we agree to disagree. Aaron Judge yesterday misses the cutoff. Man.
Yeah.
he's been playing baseball forever.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we blaming on that?
Aaron Judge.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't think, like, if I wish Boomer was here, because I would love to show him this
shove
play.
Shove it in his face?
No, because I think he would probably say that's Boone's fault, that he allows this laxed, you know, type of environment. And I'm thinking, you don't think that Aaron Judge knew to hit the cutoff man on this play?
Yeah.
And not allow the tying run to get to second base?
He should, yeah. I mean, the only thing I could think of is
so bizarre.
Just an airmail situation. You know,
no, he
like?
Was throwing home. I don't think that's an airmail thing
You're
at
right.
all. I think he's throwing home.
Yeah, I would say this. Not an airmail, but maybe he figures, you know what, I'm going to put it head high, and if he wants to cut it, he can. And then it was a little too much. You know what I find with Judge, when you watch him, when he comes up to throw, it almost looks like he's holding back a little bit.
Well, it's because he's 9 feet tall.
Well, that's what I mean. So that
might have
been one that just took off
maybe,
on him a little bit. But yeah, it wasn't a good fundamental play.
It's a bad
the
play.
Fundies
he dropped the ball.
He did, yes, that was a big play.
Yes, yes. You and Boomer getting after it quite a bit, the two of you, recently.
Sometimes.
Earlier this week, your impression of him. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I enjoyed
well,
that.
He's anyway. Like, there's only so much needling you can take.
Yeah, well, he does poke you a lot. And
a
sometimes
bit,
you know. You respond. Yes, yes, I do. So relief there for the Yanks and certainly for Devin Williams, who's yet to really look like the dominant closer reliever he was in Milwaukee up until that home run he gave up to Pete Alonso last year. Granted, only 4 appearances for the Yanks, but still.
I'm still figuring stuff out. Haven't felt like 100% myself up to this point, but yeah, I would say I'm getting closer for sure.
And we've reached the point now where people are starting to get after him about the beard and the facial hair
stupid.
Policy and stuff.
That's all nonsense. How about this don't walk guys?
Yeah, he's in the crosshairs a little bit early on here. You know, that's how it goes when you're new to this town and you don't have immediate success.
I mean, there is an example of a guy who came here like this, much ballyhooed, and had the worst season we'd ever seen in Edwin Diaz.
Yes.
Now, he obviously has... When people say it's early, it is early. But it's not as if this hasn't happened in the past one of these guys.
Yeah.
Who came from a nice little place, you know, hey, Seattle, hey, Milwaukee.
Dominant numbers.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, here you are. Yeah. Welcome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he's been welcomed, all right. Ben Rice opened the scoring in this game. 2-run homer in the 7th. Aaron Judge, a couple more hits, including a 2-run single in the 9th. After Max Fried gave them 7 innings of 5-hit shutout ball, no walks, 11 strikeouts. His first real dominant outing for Judge's Yang.
The offense really isn't getting much going. And then for him to come out there and give us some strong innings, some big outs on his end, even when he got a couple guys in scoring position, he got a little trouble, man. He really buckled down and helped seal it for us there. That was really impressive.
Sorry, go ahead there.
No. It really does make you think, and I know it depends on which side of the conversation you stand on and how important starting pitching is. Because I can have Max Fried go out there and give me 6-7 innings every game, but if the bullpen can't do its job, what's the point of paying the guy $40 million a year?
Right.
You know, and I trust me, it's a great start. All that's good, but you know, this isn't 50 years ago where they pitch 9 and the game's in your hands.
Nope, someone else has got to finish it off for you more often than not. Yankees off today. They got the Giants coming to town tomorrow. Cody Bellinger was back in the lineup after his bout with food poisoning and went 0-for-4 and 3 strikeouts.
It was the pink meat? That's what we pretty much,
guess. Yeah, it was a chicken wings, dry rub.
No, he said no dry rub. He said no sauces
or
anything.
What I meant to say was dry as in nothing.
Oh, okay.
Yes, no sauce.
Plain.
No rub, just... The
no
standard
rub.
Chicken wing.
Yeah, which is gross.
Yeah, that was my reaction, too. Nothing on it.
Yeah.
Room service.
Well,
so
you know
is
what?
Is he dipping it in anything?
Well,
dipping it in
blue cheese? Ever think that maybe the guy that made it went to the bathroom, didn't clean his hands?
Well, yeah, of course.
I mean, it could be that. Poop wing.
Come on.
The old poop wing.
Well, how do you think?
Can I get 12 poop wings?
Undercooked chicken,
please?
That's how,
it
you
could
know?
Be undercooked or it could have been contaminated.
Could have been. Sure.
Yeah.
Anything's possible.
So, possible.
Whatever happened, he's swearing off wings for 5 years, he says.
You know what? And I believe I had a issue with General Tso's chicken back in the day.
Mm. The General.
Which I have not had it since.
How many years?
And I'm talking, my God, it was right before I got married. So in 99.
Wow. Statute of limitations has not expired.
I have not had it since.
I had one of those with a Christmas lasagna, but I went back to it. But yeah. Stomach virus after a lasagna. And I it took 2 or 3 years before I went back to that lasagna.
I've had it with a couple of different alcohols. Had bad night and haven't gone back to those.
Sure.
Jägermeister. Have not touched it since. Now, this is a true story. This is the... only me. This is... I've told you this before. When we went down to see the Cowboys and Falcons, Dion's first game as a Cowboy, it was also the Braves World Series.
Okay.
I scalped a ticket while my friends went to the some strip club, but the Gold Club is where they went.
Popular, right?
And by the way, the idea was to go to the baseball game on Saturday night, the football game on Sunday. Had so much fun at the Gold Club on Friday, everybody decided to go back on Saturday. I wanted to go to the baseball game. I went by myself. I bought a ticket from a guy outside. As soon as I went in to do it, the guy starts laughing at me. He goes, "Where'd you get this?" I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You bought it out here, didn't you?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Come on." I'm like, "Oh, I thought I was getting arrested." Bring me into the office. It was a false ticket.
Okay.
It was a counterfeit ticket that I spent I spent $240 on the ticket.
Wow.
I wound up at the Underground. Is that what it's called? I think it's called the Underground. And one of those bars, Jägermeister, did not agree with me.
Mm. So
rough night. Haven't touched it since.
You had enough money to get
Jägermeister. I spent the rest of my money at the bar.
Okay.
And I only know that because when I got in the cab, I had like $20 left. I think the guy felt bad for me and brought me back to the hotel.
Were you taking multiple shots of it? Did you put it on the rocks or just shots of it?
It was a celebratory night, if I remember.
Okay.
And the bartender kept.
Yeah. That'll get you. Yeah, I've told you the story, but I bought that fake ticket for the Aaron Boone home run game, right, with my buddy who's a big Yankee fan.
I'm not sure.
$250 in some alley in the Bronx, and then the second that we went out into the light, the ticket, like, disintegrated in my hand. And I was like, okay.
Not great. So
they got you.
Oh, yeah, they did.
My only question was, Mark Lewis's mom with you when you bought the ticket?
No, she wasn't. Yeah, that was embarrassing. Because my friend left it up to me. He's like, I'm going to leave it up to you to make the final decision. Mm-hmm. I looked on the back. And you know those tickets at the time would like have it like PC Richard and Son and like so like it had that on the back, but they made sure we were in the darkest area possible. And then I'm serious, when we got out to the light and I was holding it, the thing like fell apart. It was like self destructing.
At what point did you realize you were
right
taking...
then? And then I turned around and these guys were flying away. I was like, what? And I'm like, let's just try it anyway. We went up there and the guy went, nope.
didn't welcome you into the bar for shots.
No. Just went, nope.
Oh, it's funny.
Okay. Very good. At Citi Field, Marlins finally cooled off the Mets and finished off a shutout with authority.
1-0 to Alonso, lifted in the air to straightaway center and deep. Myers back, still going, onto the track, reaches out, makes the catch, and crashes hard into that padded wall to the left of the 408 mark. He holds onto the ball. The game is over. The Marlins have won. Myers, seated for a moment, now actually bends backwards for a second before he is helped up by Conine, the left fielder. A spectacular catch.
I mean, he didn't break his neck.
The wide angle, the freeze frame of him from the camera behind home plate of him crashing headfirst into the wall was crazy.
I know they're not a good team, but him, and I forget who it was, that other catch, might be one of the best catches I've ever seen.
Yes, but that was the same guy they were ripping for Alonso's basic clearing double, was basically playing like Little
League. Well, that's not his fault, but that's where he was aligned, not his fault.
I suppose. Anyway, that was Dane Myers there yesterday to finish off a 5-0 Miami shutout behind 6 1/3 of 2-hit ball from Max Meyer. And Matt Mervis blew this one open with a 2-run homer off Edwin Diaz in the 9th. Diaz was on for some work. He struggled, didn't finish the inning for Carlos Mendoza.
I just wanted to make sure that he was fine physically, and that was the first thing I asked when I got to the mound. He was fine. It is weird, but where we were at in the game, I thought it was just enough for him.
Control issues.
It was
again.
Terrible.
Yeah, 30 pitches, 16 strikes, couple of walks. Guess felt chilly, tough to get a grip on the ball.
Oh, stop. Know what? I watched a 15-year-old yesterday throwing 82 miles an hour in the same weather. I had no problem with his control.
Yeah.
Stop it.
And the seams on the ball a little different there, Jer, maybe?
Stop.
I'm messing with you.
Stop. Did Max Fried have any issues?
No, he did not in chilly Detroit. You are correct about that. Also, Brett Beatty, 0-3, couple of strikeouts, batting average down to .111. He also threw a ball away at second base, but it's the lack of offense that's been an issue again.
Just kind of indecision, just being in between, not having the finger on the trigger. I need to do a better job offensively and defensively for sure.
That's Brett Beatty.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, most of the lineup.
That's been a struggle.
Yes, for a lot of them. Mark Vientos, who, of course, ended up taking over the third base role last year, is batting just .119 in the early going. But 6-game winning streak prior to yesterday, that comes to an end. They're off today. They'll play in Sacramento against the Athletics coming up tomorrow. Let me give you one other baseball thing this hour before we get to Luka Doncic's return to Dallas. White Sox and Guardians from Cleveland. Chicago down 2 in the 9th. They got ducks on the pond and looked like they were going to pull even, but bad goes to worse for them.
It all comes down to Miguel Vargas.
Swings at the first one. It gets through to left field. One comes in, and we might have an injury. Oh, no. Talkman comes up and can't score.
The sock man. Bad scene for him as he came up lame. He had a hamstring issue. It popped up there again at the time as he was tagged out well ahead of getting to home plate.
I mean, the combination, it really worked out perfectly on CBS Sports Network when it timed up and the guy goes, oh, no.
Yeah. Unfortunate for him. Yeah, he's limping home there. He didn't even
been there.
Make it to
been there, sock man. I feel your pain.
Batter's box.
Yeah. I did wonder when I saw this the first time, why not stop and just walk back to third? Because he pulled it right around the base.
Yeah.
And then just kind of hobbled
probably
and limped.
Figured, let me try and make it there.
I guess, but hoping
a bad throw. Hoping for an Aaron Judge overthrow, perhaps. Yeah.
Wasn't that. He might have been out anyway, by the way. But still, when you're the White Sox, these things happen.
Exactly. Exactly right. We had another odd play in and around home plate yesterday. I'll bring that to you guys a little bit later on in the show. Let's go to the NBA. Luka's big return in Dallas last night. Had the pregame video tribute. He's in tears.
Dude, his lip was quivering.
Yeah, he was emotional.
Very much so. This was a bizarre game to watch. But go ahead.
Mavs had shirts printed that read, "Thanks for everything," written in Slovenian.
Yep.
So they had everything ready to go there. Big love fest in his first game as a visiting player, even after he absolutely torched his former team all night long.
Luka driving, scores again. 45 for Luka. Timeout Dallas. And the Lakers embrace Luka at half court, and he gets a standing ovation from the fans here in Dallas.
I've never seen a game
there, front office.
I've never seen a game where you didn't know what arena you were in.
Yeah.
Because they were cheering both sides of the ball. Every time he touched it early on, they were cheering. When he scored, it got loud. They're chanting coming out of commercial breaks, "Fire Nico." It was unbelievable.
You know how you had your "I wish Boomer here was" moment earlier?
Yeah.
I wish Boomer was here for this. Because we went back and forth on how the fact that this was a miserable trade, and one of the biggest reasons why was they didn't put it out there to the rest of the league. And he goes, "Well, if they put it out to the rest of the league, what do you think the fan base would have done?" I said, "What are they doing now?
Yeah, you're not kidding.
They're protesting. They're going absolutely crazy."
Yeah.
So maybe if it leaked out, they would have figured out that it was the dumbest thing in the world to do that. I mean, and to do this in cloak and dagger, and then, I mean, the season tickets, people are you know, that was as bad of a business decision as ever been made in sports.
Did you see where, I don't know if someone from the Nets said this off the record or if it was someone theorizing, but they were saying what the Nets likely would have offered for Luka Doncic. And it was Nick Claxton, Cam Thomas, and 5 first-round draft picks. Yeah.
I mean, that
and
makes sense.
And then think about what they got. And by the way, it's the Nets, who, without Durant, Irving, and who knows if they'll be good anytime soon. Those are huge picks.
Yeah.
And I know Anthony Davis is a great player, but man, they did not get as much as they could have. That's for sure.
112-97 in favor of the Lakers. Doncic, the 45 points, added 8 boards, 6 assists. I know we're short on time. I'll bring you some of his sound later on. Knicks at Pistons tonight. Knicks are treating this as just sort of a, you know, front end of a back-to-back. So they got the Cavs on Friday. No OG tonight. No Josh Hart. No Mitchell Robinson.
You're probably going to see them in a couple weeks.
That too.
You know?
The Celtics did it on the back end, beat the Knicks, played last night in Orlando, sat everybody essentially, and lost by 20. So that's the way it goes this time of year, with just a couple of games to go in the regular season. Nets host the Hawks. We've got coverage here on the Fan 720. You had the big Sam Rose and John Davidson reunion last night, and the Rangers decided to let the Flyers hang an 8 spot on them as they lost it.
I need the Rangers to be eliminated.
They've essentially been eliminated. You don't have to worry about
the Rangers playoffs, man. You gotta.
We'll just be talking Devils playoffs, right. Al.
Those calls will come
in fast and furious.
And we've got players saying the opposite of Peter Laviolette, so that's clearly
coming to an end in short order.
They scratched their top prospect last night, Gabe Perreault, after 3 games in the NHL. So it's one big
Gabe Perreault
happy family right now, and they'll turn around and play the Islanders at UBS tonight. That should be fun. There you go. And the Masters starts in, about an hour or so?
Yeah, you'll have the
ceremonial tee shot at 7:25.
All right, less than an hour. Awesome.
7:25. We're off the air on CBS Sports Network at 8:30 for Masters on the Range, but remain on the radio, of course, in the Odyssey app all the way up until 10.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. In the previous break, our buddy Pat Boyle walked into the studio, and he was very serious, had a serious face on, and he goes, you know, I got to talk to you guys about something very, very important. And I was like, what, man? What's going on? You know, is everything okay? He's like, yeah, no, everything's okay. I really need you to give me a golfer who's going to make the cut in the Masters so I can use this bonus on FanDuel Sportsbook. I was like, Pat, come
We're
on.
We're desperate to win the extra cash.
He's like, this is really important. So now I feel like I got this pressure on me.
You do. I would agree you do.
And there's only like, he wants someone to be plus money, so I have to like pick from all these schlubs.
Yes.
I have to pick from the schlubs.
You handled it well.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you gave him the right guy.
Yeah, I think so. I was exhausted last night. You know how people have like, you know, 15 fantasy football teams?
Yeah.
And they'll have like 10 entries in the tournament for their brackets and everything. I don't know, like, if you've been completely overwhelmed because you've put too many things in or you've bet too much on a particular thing, you got too many brackets or something like that. But this was me last night because I had daily fantasy on FanDuel.
Mm-hmm.
I had FanDuel Sportsbook that I put in. We did a snake draft at 8 o'clock with my buddies on a group text. And I had to put in at a bar a pool that we did 5 entries into that we had to sit there and break down. So when I finally got done with the snake draft at like 8:45 at night last night, I put the phone down.
It's enough.
Oh,
it's enough.
Oh. And I put on some Twister documentary, some tornado documentary. Are you watching that one yet, Al?
I lost interest in that one. I was watching
really?
For probably 40 minutes.
Huh.
I don't know. I lost interest in it.
See, I like a natural disaster maybe more than you do. I was into it. And some of the footage, even though it's not great, but some of the stuff they did capture was fascinating to me. And then the one kid got sucked up into the tornado.
Oh, no. For real? And they have it on video.
No, they don't have that on video. But he,
I don't know.
No, he got sucked up. His friends there watch it. But he
survive or no?
Yeah, but with major injuries. Like, I'm pretty sure they're going to show that he's paralyzed at some point.
Oh, gosh.
But
were
yeah.
they storm chasers or they just were in the line of...
I hate to say this, but they were, at that time in their lives, really dumb kids because they were out driving and the parents called them and said, hey, you got to come home. This is a massive storm coming. And they're like, oh, who cares? Whatever. We're just driving around. And then they weren't paying attention to where the thing was. And they, instead of turning around, they drove directly into it.
Wow.
Yeah. Just really.
You know, I know we have fun with it. And I've said in the past, you can suck off this area as much as you
yeah,
like
yeah,
to.
Yeah.
But I will say, and we've talked about this on the podcast numerous times, the weather may not be great here, and I know we had Superstorm Sandy. I get that. So it's not like we're immune to it. But you look at stuff that happens in other parts of this country weather-wise. It is just between the earthquakes that could happen in California, between the sandstorms in Arizona that I don't know that – I don't. Well, I mean, maybe they cause accidents, I suppose, on the highway when they come out of nowhere. But those are crazy. Between tornadoes in the Midwest, the flooding that has gone on in the Midwest. I don't know if you saw what was going on in Missouri last week.
Yeah.
You sit back and say, not so bad around here.
Yeah. I mean, it's that hurricane that, you know, where the water is still warm in the late summer, you know, early fall, where you could get blasted here.
100%.
As we know. But
we're not immune to it.
But that's really the only big thing.
And I know back in the day, and it's weird, we haven't for years now, but we had a couple of winters there. And I think, I don't remember if I was driving in and out with Al at that point or not. I don't remember. But we had some winters where the blizzards were coming fast and furious. Mm. You might have even been down the hall. I don't remember where we're staying in hotels and who can't drive in and who lives too far. We've even gotten away from that lately.
Yeah, which is great.
Man, some of the stuff that you see with the weather is just crazy.
You have a pick for the Masters?
I don't.
You don't?
No, I don't. So you asked me the question about, you know, the fantasy sports and when I got away from it. And this is more betting, obviously. But, you know, I got away from all the fantasy sports. The last straw was Evans Baseball League. I couldn't take it.
Yeah.
It was every single... If you weren't... And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean it from a standpoint of it was work.
Yeah.
Like, the way he has that league set up, you are kind of like a real GM... checking out what other guys are doing on other teams, who's dropping and adding and putting a lineup in it. I haven't done it since. No fantasy sports ever. And I used to do the daily fantasy with my son all the time.
Yeah, I had to stop doing daily fantasy football, and then I got involved in season-long fantasy league this year, and that drove me crazy. I don't know if I could do it again. But with the golfers, just occasionally,
sure.
It's a majors I'll get involved in, whatever.
But I'll give you one. If you wanted a sneaky top 20, just because of how well he hit it last week, and I did actually watch a lot of it, Sergio Garcia.
Yeah, you know what? I like Sergio, but if you look at his, outside of winning, his course history there is really bad. Like, he missed a ton of cuts. So
I'm going more on what I saw this past week.
No, I agree.
I agree.
He was one of my guys. So basically, Corey Connors, Joaquin Neiman, Shane Lowry are three guys, obviously, that are not the top guys we're talking about that I have bet. But I do think I think Rory's going to win. I think we're going to get an epic Sunday with Scotty and Rory. But I also did it for the hell of it, man. And Morikawa, I think, is going to play really well as well.
Pissed off right now, so he very well might.
Right, which is chalky. But I did for the hell of it. And it's funny, it made me feel good because I saw one of these top golf writers say the same thing. I just said, let me throw $50 on Phil to win.
Yeah, why not? Why
50
not?
To win 6,000.
15 years ago, I know it well. It was the day my son was born. I was a huge Mickelson fan. I still am, even with everything that's gone on. And I will never forget my wife screaming at me and the doctor as she is trying to give birth. And we had our eyes on the Masters as Craig is calling me over. And I mean, Craig Carton is calling my phone over and over and over again, which I wasn't picking up because we were in the delivery room. And finally, I'm like, honey, I got to get this. He keeps calling. And then I pick it up at Sim. He's like, hey, Spank, you're watching Mickelson? I'm like, yes, but my son's being born. I got to go. And so that day I will never forget.
What a memory.
Yep.
But also Mickelson, I bet top 20.
Great.
The win is just a shot in the dark. But it
is a shot in the dark, but he generally always plays that course well.
And he's just in great shape.
Yeah.
I've been watching all his YouTube stuff. I just think he's just built for something that'll be interesting this weekend.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.